Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another great episode of the from the 1940-41 season of the Jack Benny Show from 70 years ago. Tonight's episode is fun. It features Elliot Lewis as the killer on the show, and Elliot Lewis is one of his earlier performances on the Jack Benny Show. I always love to hear him. He, of course, plays Remley on Phil Harris's show. He's also the season we're playing of Suspense from 1950 and 51 season. He is the producer and director of most of those episodes, so he was quite the jack of all trades. And I love to hear his interviews and things. So anyway, enjoy tonight's episode featuring Elliot Lewis. J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens a program with I'm Building a Palace for Alice in Dallas. Scarcely a day passes, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't bring us dozens of letters full of praise for Jell-O. Some of these letters tell us how much children love Jell-O's gay color and delightful goodness. Others report on new and especially tempting desserts that can be made with Jell-O. And still other letters applaud the fact that Jell-O is so easy to make, sets so quickly, and dissolves in lukewarm water. Put all these letters together and you get a picture of a dessert that just can't be beat. A dessert full of rich, tangy flavor, as refreshing as the juicy, ripe fruit itself. And a dessert that takes only a few minutes to make, a few pennies to buy. Order it tomorrow in any or all of Jell-O's six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. Incidentally, if you think strawberry, raspberry, and cherry Jell-O taste even better than ever, you're right. Because they now have a new improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base artificially enhanced. Start to enjoy Jell-O right away, friends. Ask your grocer for this grand dessert tomorrow and make up a rich, luscious mold of shimmering Jell-O. I'm Building a Palace for Alice in Dallas, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as there are only five more weeks left in the current Jell-O series, at this time I would like to pay tribute to a man who, for the past 30 weeks, has brought joy and happiness into millions of American homes.
Well, what's this?
A man whose wit, charm, and personality have endeared him to the hearts of his public.
Something fishy going on here.
A man who every year at this time renews the contracts of myself and the other members of the Jell-O cast.
Oh-ho!
Jack Benny!
Oh, so that's it. Jell-O again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, I was wise the minute you opened your big fat mouth. There are only two times a year when I hear that malarkey. Christmas time and option time. Well, Don, I suppose you've looked over the contract I mailed you for next season and you're all ready to sign it.
On the contrary, Jack, I'm not quite satisfied with some of the clauses in it.
What?
Yes, Jack, I discussed the matter at home and the little woman doesn't think my increase in salary is quite big enough.
Oh, she doesn't. But, Don, when I spoke to you on the phone, you seemed quite happy about everything.
I know, Jack, but after talking it over with the little woman, I feel that you're taking advantage of me.
Oh, you feel, huh? Well, Don, let me ask you something. Who does the announcing on this program, you or the little woman?
You can expect her any week now.
Oh, fine. Now, Don, before the others get here, exactly what kind of a raise do you think I ought to give you next season?
Well, here's the situation, Jack. You've been getting a lot of laughs at the expense of my being fat.
Uh-huh.
And this year, my weekly salary has been at the rate of $2 a pound.
Oh.
So I think it's only fair that next year I ought to get $3 a pound.
$3 a pound, eh? Don, I can get Blue Ribbon, Grade A, Kansas City beef cheaper than that.
Oh,
Anyway, the raise I offered you is as high as I can go. Now, what do you say?
Well, I can't decide right now, Jack. I'll have to talk it over with the little woman.
Oh, you and the little woman. Haven't you got a mind of your own?
Yes, but I respect my wife's opinion, and I'm very devoted to her.
Oh, you are?
After all, I'm home with her every day except Sunday.
Well, I can fix that, too. Now, look, Don, I've been very fair about this whole thing. And I think that... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. What are you talking about?
Oh, Don isn't satisfied with his new contract for next season.
He isn't?
No.
Oh, my goodness. After all you've done for him...
Well, that's the way it goes, Mary. There isn't much gratitude in this business.
Why, Don Wilson, you ought to be...
Never mind, Mary. Thanks just the same. By the way, have you read your new contract?
Yeah. What are you trying to do, bring back slavery?
Oh, so I'm going to have trouble with you, too. What's the matter with your contract?
Well, I'm getting paid to rehearse on Saturday and do this program on Sunday.
Well?
But if you think I'm going to mend your socks the rest of the week, you're crazy.
Well, you're getting paid on the basis of a full week. Anyway, I can't mend my own socks. I don't know anything about sewing.
You don't know anything about sewing?
No, I don't.
I hate to race you making a soup, brother.
Oh, for Pete's sake. I maybe made a half a dozen suits when vaudeville started to slip. And that was so long ago, I've forgotten all about it.
Go on. You could thread a needle with your toes.
Oh, stop, will you? I was never a real tailor, so forget about it. Say, Don.
Sleeve 32.
Sleeve 32. Now cut that out. Listen, Mary, I want you to stop kidding about me being a tailor. I don't like it.
Oh, it's nothing to be ashamed of, Jack. If you made that suit you're wearing now, you're an excellent craftsman.
This suit? Oh, it's a lovely fit, Don, but I didn't make it. A fellow named Marino makes all my clothes.
Marino?
Yes, you ought to try him sometime.
Hiya, Jackson. Boy, are you lucky I made the broadcast tonight.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Well, that audience wouldn't let me off the stage at the Paramount.
Oh, you're still there, eh?
Say, Phil, are you doing the same gags you did last week?
No, Mary, everything new, all fresh material.
I can imagine.
No kidding, Jackson. You remember that bit last week we did where my guitar player pulls a gag and I hit him in the face with a blueberry pie?
Yeah?
This week's strawberry shortcake.
Well, that's a switch. It's a little more subtle, Phil, but I imagine the audience gets it, huh? So you hit Frankie with a strawberry shortcake, eh?
Yeah, but I had to take out the strawberries. He's allergic to them.
Allergic?
Yeah, you know, he breaks out in a rash all the time.
Phil, you only came in here 2 minutes ago, and you've already set this program back 50 years. Now, before we go back another generation, how about playing a number?
Okay, Jackson. What would you like to hear?
Glenn Miller, but I'm stuck with you. Well, go ahead. Well, go ahead. Play anything. Hold it. Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
Take it, Mary. Wait a minute, Bud. Here's a dime for you.
Oh, darn it. Now I have to sew up that hole in my pocket.
I'd love to have his head for my rock garden. Who's the wire from, Mary?
Oh, look, Jack, it's from Dennis Day.
From Dennis?
Yeah, it says, am out in the hall, will be in soon. Regards.
Well, isn't he a thoughtful little dodo? Play, Phil.
We'll be right back.
That was Wouldn't You Like to Know, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature...
Hey, Jackson, are you in a good mood tonight?
Why, what's on your mind, Phil?
Well, I want to talk to you about that new contract you sent me. My lawyers don't like it.
Your lawyers? Who are they?
McDermott, McMillan, McFadden, and Fink.
It's a nice firm. Well, Phil, just what is it your lawyers object to in the contract?
Well, they don't like that clause that says I got to get to bed Saturday nights before 3 a.m.
Well, it's for your own good, Phil. After all, we got a program to do on Sunday, and I want you to look bright and fresh.
I know, but if I lose those bags under my eyes, I ain't got no character.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil, but that clause stands. You'll have to be in bed by 3 a.m.
Okay, okay, but you won't be able to call me Twitch no more.
I'll just have to take that chance. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I started to announce, for our feature attraction this evening, the Benny, If You Like Us, Tell Your Friends, Even Though You Lose Them Players, will present an original detective thriller entitled Murder at the Movies, or No Croaking on the Main Floor. Now, in this gripping drama, Don Wilson will be sergeant of police, and I will be the captain.
We knew that. You always have to have the star part.
Well...
Yeah, Jack, why can't I be the captain?
Because you're too soft, Don, too sympathetic. Now, you gotta be a tough and callous and hard-boiled like I am.
Look who's hard-boiled. When the quiz kids left town last week, you cried like a baby.
Well, I did feel pretty bad at the station. Especially when little Gerard put his arms around my neck and kissed me. That really made me cry.
Well, I didn't mind that, but when you got down on your knee and sang a chorus of Sonny Boy, I could have kicked you.
As if you didn't, sister. Anyway, getting back to our play, I'm going to be the captain. Now, let's see.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Did you get my telegram?
Yes, but what a silly thing to do, Dennis. You're only out in the hall. Why send a telegram?
Why, am I too young?
No, but a telegram. You were right outside here. Why didn't you open the door and yell in?
That's old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned?
You're the kind of a guy that said the automobile wouldn't be practical.
What?
You better wake up, Bub.
What the heck are you talking about? Silliest thing. Now, settle down. And as long as you're here, kid, we're casting our play. We're doing Murder at the Movies, and you're going to be the ticket taker.
You mean the guy that takes tickets?
No, the guy that shovels coal in the basement. The guy that takes tickets. And Mary, you're going to be the girl in the box office, the one that sells tickets.
Okay, give me a stick of gum and let's get going.
Here you are.
Here's your penny.
Thanks. Now, now, this play, ladies and gentlemen, will go on immediately after a song by our young tenor. Are you ready, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
Say, Dennis, I like that new suit you're wearing. Who made it for you?
Marino and Benny.
All right, Dennis, go ahead with your song.
Why, Jack, Benny, I thought you weren't making suits anymore.
Marino makes them. I'm just the outside man. That's all. Now, go ahead, Dennis. I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Rochester.
All right, Rochester. What do you want?
I've been listening to the press program, boss, and it occurred to me that we haven't discussed my contract yet.
Well, Rochester, you've been working in my house now for 4 years, and I feel there's no necessity for a written contract.
Uh-huh.
Everything is perfectly clear, and we have what is known as a verbal agreement.
Uh-huh.
That means we have a mutual understanding. Why put it on paper? The amount of money involved is too small.
That's what I mean. Let's get it up.
Never mind. Now, believe me, Rochester, there's no necessity for a written contract.
But my attorneys advised it, whereas, and to wit.
Your attorneys, who are they?
Sambo, Tambo, Sugarfoot, and Smythe.
Oh. Well, tell Sambo, Tambo, Sugarfoot, and Smythe to get in touch with McDermott, McMillan, McFadden, and Fink. Let them handle it.
That's the same firm. They got a branch on Central Avenue.
No. Well, anyway, Rochester, you've got nothing to worry about. I'm giving you a substantial raise next year.
Substantial?
Yes. You know what the word means, don't you?
I ain't illiterate. I'm skeptical.
Well, you'll get it, so don't let it bother you. Now, we got a play to do. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
In this play tonight, you're going to be a detective, ain't you?
Yes.
Does that mean you're going to solve a murder?
Yes, it does.
Well, when you clear that up, find out what happened to the gas man.
Forget about the gas man. Goodbye. Gas man, gas man. Carmichael didn't touch him. He's as gentle as a lamb. Sing that.
Upon a distant shore, a maid with a way of whispering, si, senor. Each night, while guitars would softly play, the tune seemed to dance round the words that he said. My pretty little poppy, you're like a lovely flower, so sweet and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. Come upon a pretty little poppy, most poppiest endearing come from you.
Amapola, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, I can't get over how you're improving every week. Tonight your voice was like a breath of spring. Okay, Don. Dennis's voice was like a breath of spring.
Oh, Jack, it's so far-fetched.
Don, go ahead.
But they're still ribbing me about the one I did last week.
Don, Dennis's voice was like a breath of spring.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, even though you run out of breath, why don't you spring down to your neighborhood grocer and ask him for a package of Jell-O?
Keep going, Don. Remember, you've just run 5 miles.
When you get there, say to your grocer, "Hey, mister, I want a package of Jell-O."
Keep going.
"I like all 6 delicious flavors. But I don't care whether it's strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or..."
Keep going.
Fine. I'm going out to get a rub down.
Come back here. I never saw such a guy. Say, I rack my brains out trying to think of clever commercials. The least he can do is read them. Do you think I wrote the corniest material in the world?
Next to the corniest. Don't forget Strawberry Shortcake Harris.
Oh, yes. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our play, Murder at the Movies, or He Took the Count at the Paramount. Now, the scene opens.
The Paramount? Am I the guy that's going to be killed?
Phil, if you've been there 2 weeks and no one has taken a shot at you yet, you're safe. Now, the scene opens at police headquarters, where Captain Benny is seated at his desk, is seated at his desk. Curtain. Music. Now listen, Wilson. Things are going from bad to worse. The chief just phoned and said we better clean up the crooks in this district or else.
Oh, we're doing all right.
Doing all right. You were on duty in Westlake Park last night. You let somebody steal a canoe.
Well, what are you worried about, Cap?
I was in it with my girl. And another thing, you're a fine-looking policeman. Where's your badge?
Down here. My suspenders broke.
Well, put it back where it belongs.
They'll fall down.
Let them fall. Now listen, Wilson, I want action around here. Action. I'm going to fill this jail if I have to put in jukeboxes. That's what. I'll take it. Hello, police headquarters. Captain Benny speaking.
Hello, this is Mamie Livingston, cashier at the Paramount Theater.
Oh, hello, Mamie. How's Trish?
Fine, she just had pups.
I don't mean that. What'd you call me up for?
Better get over here right away, Cap. A fellow was murdered right in front of my box office. Gee, he was cute.
Murdered, eh? How do you know he's dead?
He doesn't wink back.
I see. Well, tell me, when did this murder happen?
About 3 hours ago.
3 hours ago? Why didn't you call me then?
I was reading a movie magazine.
Oh. Is there a picture of me in it?
Yes, and you look worse than the guy that's laying here.
I doubt that. Well, hold everything, Mamie. We'll be right over. Come on, Sarge. A murder's been committed in front of the Paramount. Let's go.
Okay, the squad car's right out in front.
Good. Pull up your pants.
Yes, sir.
You drive, Wilson, and we'll find the murderer, or my name ain't...
Calling all cars, calling all cars. There's a sale on uniforms at Marino and Benny. That is all.
Forgot to mention those easy payments. Step on it, Sarge. Here's the theater, Wilson. Look at that marquee. Bing Crosby and Bob Hope on the road to Zanzibar, and Phil Harris on the road to Annie Bar. all right, break it up. Stand back, everybody.
There's the body, Cap. Guy's dead, all right.
Yeah. Get a load of that suit he's wearing. Tailoring is awful. That sleeve is enhanced stitch and was done with a machine.
I wonder who made it, Cap.
I'll find out. Let's see the label. Well, I'll be darned.
Who made it?
McDermott, McMillan, McFadden, and Fink. Lawsuits and clothes. I was wondering what Fink was doing there. Well, there's Mamie in the box office. I'll see what she knows about this crime. Hello, Mamie.
Hello, Cap. I'm glad you got here.
Now, tell me, Mamie, how was this man murdered?
He was shot through the little finger.
Little finger? How could that kill him?
He was scratching his head at the time.
Well, you're a witness, Mamie. Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, Cap, I was sitting here selling tickets when all of a sudden... How many, please? One in the balcony. If you got a man with you, I'm going to hold him. Come on, mister.
All right, Mamie, let's get going. I want the facts about this crime.
Well, Cap, I was sitting here selling tickets when all of a sudden I heard a shot.
Yes, yes.
So I looked around and... How many, please?
A six. I want to lie down.
All right, Mamie, a shot was fired. You looked around and what happened? Where did the murderer go?
He bought a ticket and went inside.
That's all I want to know. Come on, Sarge. We'll go in and get that killer.
Right behind you, Cap.
Oh, no, you're not. Lead the way. There's the doorman. Hey, buddy, did a man come in here a few minutes ago with a gun in his hand?
Yes, sir, he did.
Was the gun smoking?
Yes, sir, I made him sit in the loggia.
You hear that? Come on, Wilson.
Okay.
And pull up your pants. Let's go inside.
I'm sorry, mister, but you fellas will have to have tickets.
Tickets? We're the police and we're after a criminal. Here, look at our badges.
They're very pretty, but you've got to have tickets.
Oh, all right. Hey, Wilson, buy two tickets.
Okay, Cap.
Now, see here, buddy. You have no right to hold us up. I'm Captain Bennett. Got a good mind to give you a belt in the back.
That's what I told Marino, but he wouldn't put one on.
Well, he is stubborn. Now, look.
I've got the tickets, Cap.
Okay. Here you are, buddy.
Hold your stubs, please.
Off of your pants, Wilson. Now, come on. The murderer must be upstairs. Follow me. Okay, here are the loges. Now, let's take it easy. We might corner them.
Stubs, please.
Oh, here you are.
I'm sorry, sir, but these tickets are for the main floor.
Now, look here, buddy. We're the law. We're after a desperate criminal, and he's sitting in the loges.
Well, if he can afford it, can't you?
Oh, all right. What do we owe you?
That'll be 30 cents extra for two tickets.
Here you are. Make a note of that, Wilson. Now, come on. We've got to find the murderer. Hey, look, the stage show is starting.
Oh, yes, and there's Phil Harris making his entrance.
Hiya, folks. Make me know you're glad to see me.
Guess you'll do some of those corny gags now.
Come on, Cap. We've got to find that murderer.
You look around. I want to stay here a minute.
Okay.
You know, folks, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the theater. I stopped in a restaurant and said to the waiter, "Do you have frog legs?" And he says, "No, I always walk this way." Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Listen to him laugh at that.
Ain't that stuff terrible? How does he get away with it?
You got me, mister.
Anyway, folks, when I got through with the frog legs, I wanted some coffee. So I said to the waiter, "Give me a cup of coffee, half and half." So he brought in half of the cup and half of the saucer.
Oh, brother. Isn't that awful?
It sure is, buddy.
And now, folks, we're going to play a little number entitled, "Papa, Get the Hammer, There's a Fly on Baby's Head."
Holy smoke!
Hit it, boys!
Boy, I can't get over those gags. I wonder where Harris gets them.
I know where he used to get them, but he ain't going to get them no more.
What do you mean?
I just bumped off the guy that wrote that stuff.
What?
Yeah, he's laying out in front of the theater right now.
Oh, so you're the murderer. Well, I'm from police headquarters. I'm sorry, but I'll have to arrest you.
Okay, Cap, let's go.
Not right now. I want to stay here and listen to the rest of Harris's act.
Well, I can't stand this anymore. I'm going over to jail and wait for you.
Okay, just tell them who you are and they'll let you in.
Thanks.
So long, Cap.
So long, and you got nothing to worry about, mister. There ain't a jury in the world that'll convict you. See you in jail.
In the past 7 years, ladies and gentlemen, we've broadcast hundreds of Jell-O recipes on this program. And during that time, many listeners have written in to ask us if these recipes are available in printed form. Well, the answer now is yes. Yes, you can now get the very same radio recipes gathered together for your convenience in one of the handiest, most attractive cookbooks ever printed. You'll find the best of these 12 recipes in General Foods' new dessert book, a big 48-page collection of the grandest desserts you can imagine. But don't think that's all. No, sir. Not only does this handsomely illustrated book contain lots of luscious Jell-O desserts, it also gives you ideas and directions for making all kinds of other tempting treats. 365 different recipes and suggestions in all, a new dessert for every day in the year. And it's a book that's really beautiful, with its brightly decorated cover and its rich, striking color photographs and paintings. But the only way to tell how good-looking it is to get a copy. So send for yours now. Mail 10 cents in coin or stamp to Don Wilson, care of General Foods, Battle Creek, Michigan. Remember, all you send is 10 cents in coin or stamp. And the address again is Don Wilson, care of General Foods, Battle Creek, Michigan.
We're a little late, so good night, folks.
Oh, who goes there?
Private Frank Bingman.
Advance and get the password.
Jell-O pudding.
Don't you mean Jell-O?
No, I mean Jell-O pudding. Jell-O puddings are not gelatin desserts like their partner in pleasure, Jell-O. They're smooth, creamy puddings that you make with milk. And they're so rich and creamy and luscious that they simply melt in your mouth.
How many flavors do these Jell-O puddings have?
Chocolate, vanilla, and butterscotch. And are they swell?
Did you hear that, folks? Well, tomorrow when you enter those new creamy Jell-O puddings and see if we're not right.
Pass, friend!
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking, of course. Welcome to the Fred Allen Show for this week from 70 years ago. I thought I'd continue my discussion of the Boston Public Library's collection of Fred Allen material. I've spent last week really going over the radio archives that are available there from his radio shows. Today I thought I'd talk a little bit about the scripts that they have. They have probably more scripts than they have radio shows, and they have, I don't know if I said it last time, but they had like 250 radio shows, and they have, as I say, far more scripts than that. But the scripts, what makes them interesting, I feel, is that, and I didn't know this is how Fred worked until last week when I went there, they'll have three kind of rough drafts, and so each one will be a little more polished than the last. And then they have a final script, it was as aired, that shows any last-minute ad-libs or changes that they make. So it's verbatim what they played on the what you hear on the radio show. I was thinking it would be really interesting to see, I mean, you couldn't look at all the scripts throughout the years. I mean, it would just be too much to look at. But if a person wants to look at, let's say, one of the guest appearances of Jack Benny on the show, and you were to look at what the first initial draft of the script looked like, and then see how it changed and what he tightened up for the second and for the third, and then seeing the final and seeing how much ad-libbing went on, that would be really interesting to see. I would love to do that. So if I ever get out to Boston again, I will check that out. I don't think you can get the scripts through checking them out like at a different library and getting them sent there. I think they stay housed at Boston Public Library. But I do have a connection with a person that works in the library, and I'm going to ask her what of the collection can you get sent out to you through other public libraries so that you can look at what they have and so forth. But when I find that information out, I will tell you folks. Anyway, enjoy this wonderful episode of The Fred Allen Show, and we'll see you next time.
The Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedians Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hopper, the Texaco Roundtable, Wynn Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, the magazines are full of fabulous success stories.
Yeah.
Men who have come up the easy way.
Yeah.
Tonight, we bring you a man who has made it the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
A man who has had his nose to the grindstone for 30 years and looks it.
No kidding.
Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you. I took a low bow, Jimmy. I want to see if my upper plate is holding. I just checked on that before we take off on the hour. Well, thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Is that a new coat you have on?
No, not quite, Fred.
Looks like some skin trouble. That is a coat, isn't it? Looks like some... Well, good evening. Now, before we start, it really does. It looks as though you had elephantitis with lapels or something. And good evening, ladies and... Well, before we start, Jimmy, I'm going to make an important announcement. Now, I want you to keep everyone quiet.
But I'm the only one here, Fred.
That's just what I mean, Jimmy.
Just put
a muffler on that coat to start with.
But before I shut up, Fred, tell me, what is this announcement that's so important?
Well, next week, on May 9th, Jack Benny celebrates his 10th anniversary in radio. A monster banquet is being given in Hollywood. Vitamin B1 is going to go mad that night. Speeches are to be broadcast over the networks, and Mr. Benny will be eulogized from coast to coast.
And you're going to celebrate Jack's anniversary, too?
Yes. Only on this program, we will tell the truth about Jack Benny. Instead of an anniversary, we will have a paniversary, you see. We'll have guest stars. We'll have guest stars. Portland.
Yes?
I only read this morning that Amos and Andy got in from Hollywood today. Now, they ought to know what Jack Benny has been up to lately. Will you call them up and ask them if they would like to come on our program next week?
Well, where can I call Amos and Andy?
Well, now, let me see. First, you better try the Campbell Soup Factory. And ask them for the party line, Mulligatawny, and then if they're not there, call the Harlem chapter of the Mystic Knights of the Sea.
All right.
Now, that's fine. Now, if I can only get the mayor of Waukegan, too, say, Mr. Goodman.
Present.
You all here, or is there more of you coming up later? I mean... Call up Waukegan, get the city hall, and ask for the mayor, Mansell Talcott, will you?
Mansell Talcott? What is becoming of LaGuardia?
Well, Mr. LaGuardia is the mayor of New York.
He is not the mayor all over?
Oh, no, no.
This is news to Goodman.
Among other things. We want to get the mayor of Waukegan down here next week for our Benny celebration.
Goodman is calling.
Well, good for Goodman. And now that we've got the ball rolling for our great Jack Benny paniversary, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. New York Subways Advertising Company starts innovation in city subways. Copying radio technique, company is adding entertainment cards as features to break the monotony of cough, headache, and acid stomach ads. Strap hangers today look up to see bulletins listing the movie of the month, cartoon features, Miss Subway, and other novel displays. Texaco News interviews underground commuters to get their opinions on these new subway cards. The man behind the entire movement is Mr. Ponsefort Pelt. Now, just what is it you do, Mr. Pelt?
I'm a hyper.
Well, what is a hyper? What does he do?
A hyper hypes.
I know, but a hyper hypes what?
A hyper hypes business.
Well, I must be dumb. I've been accused of being dumb, but I just don't get it, Mr. Pelt.
Well, I'll show you. Last month, business fell off on a Chinatown sightseeing buses. What happened? They sent for me.
Yeah?
I took a look at the business. I hyped it.
Well, how?
Well, people were sick of riding from Times Square down to see Chinatown.
Yes?
I revised it. I started the buses in Chinatown, bringing Chinamen uptown to see Times Square.
So they could get a new slant on the whole thing, I see.
Yeah, it was the same story with the subway. Business was falling off.
They sent for you to hype it up?
Yeah. Yeah, but first I spent 2 years in a subway making a survey.
And what did you... You were with Dr. Gallup. Did you run across him down there? And what did you find after 2 years working on your survey in the subway?
Nobody had no interest in nothing.
No.
Everybody in a subway was dull and moody. People were strap happy.
Did you hype things up?
And how? I tore out them indigestion and liver pill ads... And put in cartoons and jingles and pictures of movie dates.
Well, has it made any difference?
Has it? Just try to get into the subway some morning without a reservation, mister.
I see.
Yeah, and I ain't through yet.
Oh, you are adding other features to the subway?
I'm putting parlor cars on the Lenox Avenue Local, a diner on the Sea Beach Express.
You are?
Yeah, and for people going to Brooklyn at night, I'm putting in sleepers.
And all this you think will hype business?
Oh, you said it, bud. Thanks to me, now the subway's gone places.
Yes, sir. Well, You said it. You can stay here and suffer for it. Yes, the subway is... The subway is going places. If the matinees hold up, the subway may run as long as Tobacco Road. And thank you, Mr. Ponsifort Pelt. A commuter who isn't enthused over the subway's recent improvements is one Bengal Spread. Have you noticed the great changes in subway displays, Mr. Spread?
I ain't seen nothing.
You haven't got a pool ball in your mouth or anything, have you? I thought you might be carrying the eight ball internally there. But you patronize the subway, don't you?
I've been riding 20 years in them subterranean rockets.
For 20 years?
And
you haven't noticed any changes?
I ain't seen nothing.
That I can believe now that I take a good gander at you. You ain't,
For 20 years, I've been getting on at 96th Street. I ride downtown.
And?
I ain't seen nothing.
Why?
All year round, I wear a derby.
Yes?
Every morning, I get in the subway at 96th Street.
Yeah?
Somebody jams the derby down over my head.
And?
The next thing I know... Bam! It's 14th Street.
You're the only man I've ever heard talk who carries his own air conditioning right in his mouth. And that's why you say, Bengal, that for 20 years...
I ain't seen nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You ought to get a beret.
You ought to get a beret, brother. A rash beret.
Tells me we'll hear from you later, and thank you, Bengal Spread. A young lady who looks pleased about the subways is Miss Beryl Houlihan. What do you think of the new subway technique, Beryl?
I've been having a time of my life. I've been out of this world.
Well, how do you mean, out of this world?
I've been down in a subway for the last month.
We're doing what?
Roystering and fiestering.
In that order?
Yeah.
Roystering.
It's been a regular bacchanelli.
What started this round of gaiety?
Well, the subway's pepping things up. They're running a monthly beauty contest.
Oh, and you?
I was Miss Interborough for April.
Miss Interborough? Yeah.
I've been making personal appearances.
In the subway?
Yeah. The first week, I appeared at all the express stops.
Well, good for you.
Then I started doing personals at the locals.
The local stops, huh?
Yeah.
I get it. Local girl makes good.
Yeah. Well, then I did a couple of guest shots in the 8th Avenue subway... And for two heavenly days, I was Miss Shuttle.
Miss Shuttle. In other words, it has just been one round of sunken triumph.
Yeah. At 66th Street, flashlights, autographs, people throwing wads of gum for confetti.
Yes.
At 33rd Street, people running out of Macy's basement cheering. And a little sales girl giving me the key.
The key to the city?
Nah, the key to Macy's basement. Then the grand finale.
The grand finale.
A fiesta at Delancey Street.
A fiesta at Delancey Street.
The natives all in costume.
Oh, those natives.
People drinking borscht out of my slipper.
Well, tell me, with the open-toed slippers, doesn't the potato catch in the toe when they drink borscht out of it? How picturesque, I must say.
Ah, but it's all over now. That's life, I guess.
Oh, that is life. Sic gloria, rapid transit.
Hey, what does that mean?
That's Latin for down in the subway, you're a celebrity, but on the level, you're a nobody.
Ain't it the truth?
Ain't it the truth?
You can say that again.
It was quiet enough to think it over, and thank you, Miss Interborough. And now a man who is contributing to the subway's cultural uplift, Mr. Thorndike Swinburne. You said, is that Winburn or Swinburne?
It's Winburn.
Swinburne. You said you were doing some work in the subway, Thorndike.
That I did.
Well, what, you do your own repeat show as you go along, don't you? Well, what is it you do?
I write witty jingles.
Those little four-line verses, that's what you meant by witty jingles.
That I did.
Well, what is the purpose of your jingles?
Well, they have to be about the subway.
Yes.
And they have to be funny.
Yes.
And they have to make people laugh.
And did you say your subway jingles have been doing all of this?
That I did.
Well, Can you give us a spontaneous rendition of one of your verses? Huh? Can you give us an idea of what one of your verses is like?
Oh, you want I should recite one?
That I do, that I do.
Who was that talking then? Was that me?
No, I was talking.
Yeah, who was you talking to?
Well, I was talking to you, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You were the fellow who wasn't in here before
you
came in.
You was asking me to recite one of my Subway jingles.
Yes, yeah, one of your jingles, you will.
Remember
you, dear Dr. Jingle and Mr. Hyde some years ago.
I was doubling it.
Yes, but you're tripling now the way the thing is going here. Well, would you recite one of your jingles, you will?
Here's one now. A commuter named Fosdick B. Fine took a book on the IRT line, but they knocked off his hat, squeezed his grape giraffe flat. He got off with a handful of wine.
You wrote that?
That I did.
Well, tell me, have you written any others?
Yeah, I got one called It Could Be You.
How does that go?
You may think you're alone in the subway as you ride down each morning to work. When you stop at Canal, mister, you got a pal, because the train lets you off with a jerk.
That is the end?
If you're getting off a canal, yeah.
But what about the title, It Could Be You?
Well, that's where the jerk comes in. It could be you.
I see what you mean. Well, tell me, have you ever thought of giving up poetry, Thorndike?
That I didn't.
Well, I wish you would. Mercy, Thorndike Swinburne. If the subways continue to pamper passengers, we may shortly have bingo and community singing on the different lines. If they do put singing hostesses on subway trains, we may soon be hearing this.
All right, folks, we got time for one more song before we get to Times Square. What'd it be?
How about Old Susanna?
Old Susanna. Okay, folks. One, two.
Always coming down from Harlem on the good old BMT. I was riding over to Borough Hall, my true love for to see. I could have come by bus, I could have come by trolley. I could have come by taxi cab or taken the L by golly. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I may be late a day or two. I'm coming on the BMT.
Now, Kenny Baker, having warmed up on his way down at the community sing on the subway, is prepared for his task here now. Kenny's first song has a title that sounds as though Kenny might have written it himself. The song is called Daydreaming of a Night.
Falling as night turns into morning, a morning starting another day for dreaming of a night. Daydreaming of a night with you, a night of love that we have known. When darkness drew round us like a veil of blue and held me there with you alone, the soft wind whispered that you were mine, and I made you mine, all my own. You've left me daydreaming of a night when we will have again this love we know.
Thank you, Kenny. Say, there's Kenny singing at this hour. Reminds me of an all nightingale. But say, Larry Elliott, would you come over here a minute,
please? Yes, Fred.
That's the first nightingale I ever saw lay an egg, too, by the way. Say, Larry,
yes?
I have been reading a lot of automobile advertisements lately, you know, all about the automatic devices they're putting on the new cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're an expert on automobiles. Tell me, when do you think we'll have a completely automatic car?
An automatic car?
Well, you know what I mean. A car where you won't have to worry about the clutch, the gear shift, or anything. You just get in and tell the car where you want to go. It will start itself, steer itself through traffic, and when you get to your destination, the car will stop itself, put on its brake, and hand you the keys. Now, how soon do you think we'll have a car like that?
Well, that, Fred, may be just around the corner. But as for not worrying about the clutch and gear shift, why, that's old stuff.
Is it, Larry?
Yes, drivers who used Texaco Sky Chief long ago discovered that with this different premium gasoline in the tank, a lot of unnecessary clutch and shift driving was eliminated. Sky Chief's flexible power, responsive at any speed, throttles down smoothly and picks up strongly. There's less chance of stalling, none of that fluttery feeling under the accelerator. For Sky Chief idles in traffic and flattens hills in high with equal ease, cuts down shifting, gives you the satisfaction of handling an alert, smooth-running car. So for more fun and less driving effort, fly the highway with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
This para Vigo, Mr. Goodman, what is this para Vigo me boy? What sort of the name of this last number? What sort of music is this?
Who knows what my band is playing?
But, well, you're the leader.
This last number I'm not leading. You are sending me to call Waukegan.
Oh, yes. Did you talk to Mayor Talcott?
He will be here next week with bells on yet.
Well, why with bells on?
On the side, the mayor is a good humor man.
Fine. Say it. Don't sneak away. I mean, you don't have to run away when you read the line. Just stay there and face it. Take your medicine. Say, Portland.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Did you get Amos and Andy?
No, they were out.
Oh, is that too... Well, I tell you what we do. You call them at 7:15. They'll just be finishing their broadcast.
Oh, how will I know when it's 7:15?
Well, you have a wristwatch on there.
Oh, I can't tell time by this anymore.
What, after all the money I spent on that lovely wristwatch for your birthday?
I can't help it. I can only tell when it's noon.
Well, I'll have to speak to Tiffany about that. I spend a fortune for a watch, and it only tells 1 hour. Say, by the way, how can you tell when it is noon?
Mickey Mouse has both hands straight up.
I'll take it back to Liggett's and have it fixed for you. That's the trouble with those Mickey Mouse watches. If they see a cat, the hour hand arches every time.
Oh, you don't understand. It isn't the watch.
Well, what is causing your trouble?
It's daylight saving time.
Well, that I can understand. Daylight saving time has everybody confused. And that, since we have 2 minutes to kill here, fortunately reminds me of a story. Would you, it says here. Would you, reminds me of a story I've been rehearsing all afternoon. Would you, you know the trouble, the people hear the first show at home and they come hear the second show. Now, the thing is to get a new audience. We don't need a new show here. Would you like to hear this story?
Have I any choice?
No. As you know, at 2 o'clock last Sunday morning, all clocks in the East were moved ahead to 3 o'clock. That you know. Now, it seems that there was a pinochle game going on at the Union League Club over in Nutley, New Jersey. This means everything out in Pasadena where they're hearing it now. This pinochle game was going on over there at the Union League Club in Nutley, and according to the club rules, this pinochle game had to break up at 2:30 a.m. on Sunday, April 27th.
Well, what happened?
Well, when the clocks were moved from 2 to 3, there was no 2:30. So at this very moment, as we stand here, 8 loyal Union Leaguers are still sitting there playing pinochle over in Nutley, waiting for 2:30 a.m. April 27th, which won't be around until next year. Now, that's what changing the time did for them.
Oh, I don't think people should care what time it is.
Well, that's the way I feel about it, too. What, after all, what is time? It's just the stuff that eternity is made of.
You're not a pessimist, Mr. Allen.
No, Portland, I'm not a pessimist. I'm a cynic.
A cynic, he says.
That is exactly what I said, Mr. Goodman. I am a cynic.
A cynic is a railway. A cynic railway.
That is scenic. Scenic railway. A cynic is a skeptic.
Skeptic is for a poison. Antiseptic.
No, no, no. That's antiseptic.
Antiseptic is in football. The fullback is antiseptic, a forward pass.
Please, Mr. Goodman, throw yourself for a 10-yard loss back to your podium there and let's... Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny. Hello, Kenny.
Now, wait a second. This lady just came in. Let's start and do the whole thing over here. That was Paraviga me, boy. What is this, Mr. Goodman? What is this You want to skip it, lady? I mean, we'll do it if you want it. Well, that's the trouble. You take off your shoehorn, sure. You take off your shoes in here, your feet swell up. We carry people home every night in here who do that. Can't get their shoes back on. Well, how come, wait a minute, what's going on here? Wait a second, Kenny, are you getting so bewildered? We all have the right places. Yeah. Are you getting so bewildered, you are talking to yourself?
No, it's not that. I'm a new man tonight, F.A.
Oh, and you are greeting the new man, eh?
You bet.
Well, how come you're so pleased with yourself as of now?
I just swung the slickest deal that's been pulled off since a man from Schenectady bought Grant's tomb.
Uh-huh. Here it comes. Well, what happened, Kenneth, my boy?
Well, you know that hour that disappeared Sunday morning when we all changed to daylight saving time?
Yes.
I bought it, the whole 60 minutes.
You bought it.
But, Kenny, what can you do with 60 minutes?
Sell them.
Sell them to whom?
Haven't you ever said to yourself, gee, I'd like to have a few minutes alone with Hedy Lamarr?
Yes.
I got the minutes, brother.
And for Hedy Lamarr, who do you see? Speak low, I'm taking it down.
The second time in one night you died with that. I don't mind once. Hedy Lamarr. Hedy Green was the lady. Hedy Lamarr. If it used your heady in here, you'd see the Lamarr come. But you keep out of this, Maestro. Kenny, you have been fleeced more often than Mary's little lamb. How much did you pay for this hour?
$5 for the 60 minutes. Cheap, huh?
Kenny, who perpetrated this bull of a swindle on you?
You remember Mr. Analik?
Analik, that swindler? Why, he built you once before.
Not this time he didn't.
But, Kenny, what can you do with this hour you bought?
I'm selling it for 10 cents a minute.
Oh, well, you can't sell time. Time isn't a commodity. Time isn't tangible.
Tangible, he says. A tangible is a small orange.
Again, he's correcting my English. And again, he's wrong. What you mean, Mr. Goodman, it's not tangible, it's tangerine.
Tangerine, he says. That's what gypsies are hitting on their knees with their heads.
Oh, go away, and this time away, away, go away.
Now, Mr. Allen, how about taking some of this time off my hands at 10 cents a minute?
Not me, brother.
All right, I'll let you have it wholesale. 20 minutes for $2.
Well, save your breath, Kenny. No one is going to buy your time.
Oh, no? I already sold some, F.A.
Why, that's ridiculous. You're not kidding me. Come in.
Mr. Baker?
Oh, hello, Mr. Volk.
I'm right on time.
Everything's ready, Mr. Volk. Go right ahead.
What is it?
Quiet, F.A.
Attention, motorists! The Asphyxie Motor Company, makers of America's finest automobile, the Asphyxie 8, bring you the correct time. Yes, it's time to switch to the new Asphyxie 8. Get in behind the wheel of a new Asphyxiate before someone's fender gets up behind you. Remember, the Asphyxiate features that new rear end which is sweeping the country.
Time, your minute's up, Mr. Volk.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Here's your dime.
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute. Who was that?
That was one of the minutes I sold, F.A.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, and there are 10 more guys outside. They all own a minute each. I'll call them in one by one, and we'll get the
whole... But, Kenny, wait a minute. You can't sell Texaco's time to other sponsors.
But who's selling Texaco's time?
Well, you are. This time we're wasting right now belongs to Texaco. Texaco bought it from the Columbia Broadcasting System.
But I'm not selling Texaco's time. I'm selling a time I bought from Mr. Analek.
He's got you, Mr. Allen.
But good he has got you.
Well, now I'm all mixed up. Your time runs concurrently. I tell you what I'll do, Kenny. I will buy this Analek time of yours... So we won't interfere. How much have you got left there?
20 minutes. It's 10 cents a minute.
All right, here's your $2.
Thank you.
To Goodman, this is wasting $2.
You keep out of this, Maestro.
On account of having $2 as a young man, Goodman is not having a penny today.
Well, what has having $2 as a young man got to do with your not having a penny today?
Goodman, with the $2, is buying a marriage license.
Well, we live and learn.
If Goodman had $2 today...
Would you buy another marriage license?
I would put it on a horse. I would get a better run for my money.
Now that you and I have been double-duped, Maestro, let's have this thing straight once and for all. Kenny, there are to be no more transactions with Mr. Analek.
Oh, it's too late, F.A.
Too late?
Yes, he just called up to let me in on a big deal.
More time?
Yes. A judge just gave Mr. Analek 6 months, and I can have any part of it for $10. So long.
While Kenny is being fitted for the new spring-style striped suit for the men who deal in time wholesale, Miss Wynn Murray, Texaco's girlfriend, who has her own time on our program, prepares to use it. Wynn's song is I Look at You. Well, look at me, Wynn.
I look at you and the trumpet plays so sweet. I look at you and the drum begins to beat. I touch your hand and a whole darn band begins to play. Then my poor old heart starts in the swing and sway. A saxophone moans when you leave me, dear. A tinkling piano plays when you come near. You are melody and harmony that thrills me through and through. There's music in my heart when I look at you. There was no song here in my heart till you came my way. Now that you're near, close to me, dear, bands begin to play. I look at you and the trumpet plays so sweet. I look at you and the drum begins to beat. I touch your hand and a whole darn band begins to play. Then my poor old heart starts into swing and sway. A saxophone moans when you leave me, dear. A tinkling piano plays when you come near. You are melody and harmony that thrills me through and through. There's music in my heart when I look at you. Thrills me through and through. Music in my heart when I look at you.
Excuse me, Mr. Allen. Can I say hello to May?
Hello to May?
Yeah. Hello, May. Are you listening, May? I'll be expecting you tomorrow, May. Everything's all ready for you. So long, May.
Say, Kenny, you come back here. Oh, shucks, he's gone. Can you imagine the cheek of that kid using our microphone to say hello to some girl?
Why, May isn't a girl, Fred.
She isn't?
Well, May is a month. It starts tomorrow, haven't you heard?
I don't get out much, you know, working on this. I'm down in the corn crib all day working on the things here. But Kenny said everything is all ready.
Oh, yes, Fred. You see, he's had a Texaco dealer prepare his car for the hot days ahead.
Uh-huh.
You too, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow you'll be saying hello to May. And the mid-spring season will be here. Don't forget that each day you delay getting your car ready for warm weather driving now can mean serious trouble and expense later on. So do the wise thing. Catch up with spring at your Texaco dealer right away. First, he'll drain off that old, dangerously thinned-out winter oil. Replace it with fresh, insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil, insulated to stand up to high engine temperatures. And then he'll give those vital gears in the transmission and differential a new lease on life with Texaco gear lubricants of the right seasonal grade. Finally, he'll restore needed protection to chassis parts. Make your car ride quietly, steer easily, with Marfac, Texaco's famous 40-point chassis lubrication service. So don't delay. Get your car in step with spring at your Texaco dealer. Texaco Star Theater continues immediately following a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was a half-mast version of, Mr. Goodman, your agent, that was a half-mast version of Rhythm is Red, White, and Blue, waved by Maestro Goodman, who was conducting with his second papers. And this, I didn't know you could roll them down that small, Mr. Goodman. And this brings us to the Texaco Roundtable. Again, we feature radio's only unrehearsed discussion group, whose efforts are concentrated on trivia. We will discuss a rumor, a casual remark overheard in a crowd, others stoop to conquer. We stoop to debate. No subject too low, we'll stoop to it. Portland opens our roundtable session simply by calling the roll, if you will, Port.
Uh-huh. Mr. Ben Kamsler of New York City.
Well, good evening, Mr. Kamsler.
Good evening, Fred.
May I ask your occupation or profession?
I'm an editor.
An editor of what, may I ask?
Of a magazine.
A magazine? What magazine?
Song Parade magazine.
Song Parade?
That's right.
What is that? Is that a new magazine?
That's a new lyric magazine.
Oh, you mean one of those magazines that comes out and contains nothing but the lyrics of all of the popular songs, is
that's
that right?
That's right.
All the popular songs?
Yes.
You don't put the music in with the lyrics?
No, just songs, mostly BMI.
Well, do you, what do you do? Just BMI songs,
yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Is it a large book you're putting out?
Plenty.
I see.
Jeannie and Jeannie's daughter.
Yes, I thought probably you had one page in there with Jeannie on the front page, and then pending on the second page. But tell me, do you think, Mr. Kamsler, that better music is being written today than we had written years ago?
Well, I don't know. There's
better
more
quality.
Of it.
More. Of it. Well, we're getting better quantity, I mean, but that's are we getting right. the same quality?
No, it's louder.
It's just louder now, and the composers are more frequent, in other words. Right. I mean, years ago, we used to have nice songs like Believe Me If All Those Endearing Young Charms, and today we have songs like Beat Me, Mama, with a Boogie Beat. I mean, and we used to have patriotic songs like Hail Columbia, Happy Land. Today we've got I'm Nuts About the Good Old USA. You think it's better now than it was years ago, huh?
That's right.
Well, I hope to see my name. Could you take songs on your Song Parade magazine?
Yes, we take songs, and we have a contest right now.
Contest? I have a song for you, Mr. Kamsler. I've written a new song, sort of a pastoral effect. It's called I'll Meet You at the Hen House, Helen, if you will egg me on.
First prize.
Excuse me, it's getting too hot in here. I mean, after all, we can't be good, we'll be comfortable. So, all right, go. Excuse me.
And now, Mrs. Rita Prager of New York City.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Prager.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
I hope you'll excuse me taking off my shirt. I am soaking wet. I don't want to float off the rostrum here. I want to see a man telling me we have 3 minutes left to go. Show Mrs. Prager how we only have 3 minutes left to go. You see how it goes in radio? Well, tell me, what is your... Three of them in radio. In other play, you only get... But, tell me, what is your profession, your profession, Mrs. Prager?
No profession, just a housewife, Mr. Allen.
You are just a housewife? Well, that is a very honorable profession, Mrs. Prager. What business is your husband in, may I ask?
A musician.
Can you have an affidavit to prove that, have you?
Positively.
I mean, is that your personal opinion, or is he a member of... Is he a member of 802 in Good City?
A member of 802.
Well, is he a symphony musician or is he working?
He's working.
Well, thanks a lot. I was going to ask you some other questions, but I'm sorry we haven't got time. The man's only got one more finger left.
Mr. Patrick Klein of Brooklyn, New York.
Well, good evening, Mr.
Good evening, Fred.
Tell me, may I ask your profession, Mr. Klein?
The truck driver, back again.
You are a truck driver?
Truck driver.
Are you? Well,
yes,
what
sir.
Firm do you work for, may I ask?
Walton Hauling and Warehouse and Scenery and Transfer.
Oh, the Gene Walton Company who hauls all the theater.
Theatrical
baggage, yes. Well, tell me, how do you fellas feel? For instance, you haul a show into a theater and the show flops and the next day you come back and haul the scenery out again. Do you ever feel badly about that? I mean, any sentiment attached to it? Or is it just overtime? I mean...
Well, no, if it's overtime, it's natural.
All right, all the actors can be sitting out in the gutter. It's all right, you
okay.
get overtime. Well, that's fine. I'm sorry, I'd like to go into this with you, Mr. Klein, but the man is down to waving his cuticle now. That brings us to our question, and tonight we deal with deception. Down, my eyes are getting bad. I have either got to get glasses or longer arms here. Now, I can't... Well, that brings us to our question... And tonight we deal with deception. Down through the ages, women have used artificial lures, cosmetic, rouge, bustles, rats in their hair, and other false accessories to attract the male member of the species. Men, on the other hand, have resorted to toupees and padded shoulders to deceive their girlfriends. Now, recently, shoes have been put on the market here that enable men to add several inches to their height. This is perpendicular deception. And tonight, then, our question is, do you think a man should be satisfied with his normal height? Or do you think he is justified in wearing these shoes to give the false impression that he is taller than he is? Mr. Kamsler, how do you feel about it?
I feel that one stoops to deception, not rises by it.
One stoops to deception and doesn't rise through deception. Well, I'll have to work that out. You hear from me. If you don't hear from me within 30 days, mister, is the time all eaten up? We got any more time? We still have time. How much have we got now? I mean, well, all you guys are waving at each other. Hey, you've got big business for you. He's waving at them. They're waving at him. You see how much time is left? Nobody knows. We didn't know anything like that. Now, Well, we have no more time, huh? Well, all right, Mrs. Prager, you don't mind if I don't continue, do you?
Of course not.
The executives, you know what a conference is. A conference has just been held. You know what a conference is?
Yeah.
A conference is a meeting of a group of men who singly can do nothing, but who collectively can decide that nothing can be done. Mr. Klein, will you excuse me?
I sure will, Fred.
All right, thank you. We're a little late. I'm sorry we can't continue the thing, and thank you all, and I'm terribly sorry. And now, Kenny Baker, the time baron, uses a few minutes he had left in stock to sing for us in the gloaming. Another apple, Jimmy. And here's Jimmy Wallington to tell us about Fire Chief. And Fire Chief, oh, that reminds me, I've got to call the mayor right away.
The mayor, friend?
Yes, I have an idea, Jimmy, that will make the fire department self-supporting and save the city millions every year.
May I ask what the idea is,
Well,
Fred?
Look, now everybody likes to go to fires, huh?
Yes.
Well, all right, the mayor can put 50 extra chairs on every fire engine and sell tickets. He can have a chair for himself on there, for which he won't pay. For a dollar, you get a round trip to a three-alarm fire. And for 10 cents extra, you can blow the siren. Say, I'm going to call the mayor right now.
Ah, no, don't bother, Fred. Save your nickel.
You mean the mayor won't go for my idea?
50 extra seats in every fire engine? Why, everybody knows a fire engine has to be stripped for action. There's no room for useless equipment. No duds allowed.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes, too. And that goes, too, for the gas tanks of fire engines and other emergency duty vehicles. No room there for duds, those sluggish, slow-firing elements in gasoline. So there are no duds in Texaco Fire Chief, the gasoline designed for emergency duty action. They're out, removed by special steps in Texaco refining. In Fire Chief, you get only the instant firing elements that start your engine quickly and keep it at the peak of power mile after mile. It's stripped for action. You're buying full power at regular gasoline prices. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Texaco Fire Chief, the emergency duty gasoline. There's not a dud in a tank full.
Well, that seems to bring
Mr.
us...
Mr. Allen?
Yes, Portland?
I just talked to Amos and Andy. They'll be here next Wednesday.
Oh, boy, isn't that great? With Amos and Andy and the mayor of Waukegan, we're all set for our Jack Benny Panniversary next week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight, they dramatize the final episode in the artistic career of a nondescript concert singer. It's called The Baritone's Plight, or The Singer Must Have Been Fond of Animals, for he always had a frog in his throat. Music deems.
Into the depths of musical oblivion this year slipped a shopworn and unpopular singing star, the baritone Charles John Allen. For 20 years, Charles John Allen toured the hinterland. And for 20 years, at the end of his recitals, audiences had shouted,
"Boo, boo, get him over there."
In 1920, after his concert at Beaver Paw, Nebraska, the owner of the auditorium said,
"Charles John Allen had a long run here. Last I saw Charles John, he was running down Main Street, accompanied by the piano and three bushels of vegetables."
In 1927, Mrs. Biddle Tittle Middle, wealthy music lover, said,
"I sponsored a Charles John Allen recital on the Albany Night Boat. 200 passengers got off at Poughkeepsie."
In 1935, Leopold Kautowski, celebrated conductor, said,
"I am conducting for Charles John Allen in Hoboken. He is singing Carry Me Back to Old Virginia. The audience is doing it."
And so it went until 1938. That year, Charles John Allen auditioned for the Hackensack Opera Company.
How's that?
You are going to places, Allen, and you are going now. Scramos.
The following year, he auditioned for another company.
How's that?
Sorry, Allen, we can't use you. You don't laugh loud enough for the Bob Hope studio audience.
In 1940, Charles John tried out for Major Bowles.
All right.
And now, as the curtain rises for the last time on his off-key career, we find Charles John Allen in his dressing room at Carnegie Hall. His friends have hired Carnegie Hall for one night, and as a farewell gesture, Charles John is singing at a benefit for himself. As we open the dressing room door, we find Charles John warming up.
Me, Harvey. Confound that valet, Harvey.
Roger, coming, sir?
My concert starts in 10 minutes, Harvey. Where's my clown suit?
You've got it on, sir.
So I have. Where are my satin pumps with the pop palms on them?
You got them on, sir.
So I have, Harvey. Confound my eyes. I'm getting more nearsighted every day.
Yes, sir. Here is your toupee, sir.
No, I've got my toupee on, Harvey.
Oh, no, sir. You've put on the rubber mat from under the ashtray, sir.
Well, no wonder my military brushes kept skidding.
Here is your toupee, sir.
Confound my eyes, Harvey. Where are you? Is that you, Harvey? Oh, that's the hall tree. You're Harvey with the glasses on. I'm so nearsighted, I can't see this season to read my music.
Oh, a pity, sir.
Taking Mouse Meat Oregon last year, doing Crosby's Goodbye, for 9 bars, I sang the cello player.
Oh, yes, I recall, sir.
At Bellows Falls, instead of Hold the Gentle Lark, I sang Listen to the Mockingbird. I couldn't tell one bird from another.
Yes, I remember the birds that night, sir.
You took some photographs, as I remember. At my Nutley concert, I picked up what I thought was my score and sang 4 pages of the Sears Roebuck catalog. I sang 2 complete illustrations. Yes, my eyes have doomed me.
Couldn't you wear glasses, sir?
What? A concert singer wearing bifocals?
Sorrow, sir.
Have you ever seen Rigoletto with a pince-nez on?
No, sir.
But very well. Don't mention glasses to me again. Me.
5 minutes, Mr. Allen. 5 minutes.
5 minutes to curtain time, Harvey. Me. My vocal cords are a bit rusty here.
Look here, sir. You ought to get the Mafactor.
Yes, I think I ought to. Come in.
Charles John?
Yes, who is it?
It's me, Batchelor, your agent.
Oh, yes. Confound my eyes. I couldn't see it there. How is the house?
The jig is up, Allen. The house is empty.
What?
You're through, Allen.
I'm through?
Yes, you're a dud.
What can I do? A dud, you say? What can I do? Go back to calling trains?
No, no. The New York Central just signed Singin' Sam. They wanted a name.
Dad, John, Charles, John, Allen, through. Don't know the order of my three first names here. I'm through, finished, done.
You got one last chance, Allen.
Minsky?
No. Radio.
Not that.
Quiet, no, quiet. No. I dug you up a sponsor for $100 a week.
No, no. Who?
It's Mrs. Vogelson of Vogelson's Vitamin Vinegar. She's coming to hear your concert tonight.
I trust she's a music lover.
If she is, you're sunk.
Huh?
Now, listen, Charles John. I told Mrs. Vogelson you're nuts about her vinegar. Now, I brought these bottles of vinegar. I'll put them all around your dressing.
Yes,
see?
Thank them.
Now, pour some in these glasses.
You do that. Hey. Come on, a little.
Mrs. Vogelson will think you've been using her vinegar.
Yeah, yeah.
This must be Mrs. Vogelson. Now, remember, you're nuts about vinegar.
Yes, of course. Come in.
How do you do, Mr. Batchelor?
Howdy, Mrs. Vogelson. Meet America's favorite baritone, Charles John Allen.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? I'm glad to meet you.
Button your tonsils, bum.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles John is a great Vogelson vinegar fan, Mrs. V.
Really?
Yes. Vinegar's really my weakness. You see bottles everywhere here. I even keep it around in glasses.
Fine. Now, I need a radio program to sell my vinegar.
Oh, Charles John has got a great voice, Mrs. Vogelson.
Me.
His voice is a little sour.
Just the thing for a vinegar show.
Yes. Well, I'll go out front and hear the concert.
Yes, I'd do that.
If you're a hit tonight, Mr. Allen, you're hired.
Uh-huh.
Ta-ta.
Now, you've got to put it over, Charles John.
I shall. Have no fear. Me. I'm in rare voice tonight. This is confidential.
Curtain, sir. Curtain.
Curtain. I've got to go.
Good luck, Charles John.
Me. I'd better give my throat less goggle here. My voice, I don't know what I'm doing in my nervous condition. My voice has got to be bright afresh for Mrs. Vogelson. Where is my goggle, Harvey?
Right there on your dressing table, sir.
Oh, yes. I'll rinse my thorax.
Yeah! Oh, yeah! You took the wrong glass, sir.
Now, I what?
You goggled the vinegar, sir.
Vinegar?
Yes.
Dad, my mouth tastes like the bottom of a salad bowl.
Stop making them faces.
Well, I can't help it. The vinegar is puckering up my mouth. This is terrible.
Good heavens, his mouth is closed completely.
Open your mouth, Charles John.
We're cleared. I'm ruined.
Oh, what a mess.
We're holding the curtain. Hurry, Mr.
Allen. You have to keep holding the curtain.
But you've got to go on and sing.
Oh, how can I sing when I can't even talk? I feel like that. Okay.
Look, try to sing. Come on. Me.
Moo, 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 moo.
Somebody will come in here and try to milk you.
Sir, this is a horrible calamity.
Yeah, we can't hold the curtain any longer, Mr. Allen. You gotta come.
Who can I come?
Oh, what's the matter with your mouth, sir?
He goggled with some vinegar. It's puckered.
Yes, we've got to unpucker it some way.
Yeah. Look, Charles John, try saying the vowels. A.
E.
E.
A.
I.
O.
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 That's no good. Think of a word that'll stretch his mouth.
All right. Say shower bath.
Over.
No. Say it very slow and distinctly. Shower bath.
Ooh.
Oh.
Can't wait any longer, sir. I'll have to tell the manager. Carnegie Hall is disgraced.
We're ruined, Charles John.
Ooh.
Mrs. Vogelson won't hear you sing. That radio program is off, and it was your last chance.
Well, when is this concert starting, Bachelor? What's this infernal delay?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Vogelson. We've had an accident.
How dare you pucker at me, Allen? I'm a respectable married woman.
Oh, he don't mean no harm, Mrs. Vogelson.
Well, what's he pouting about?
He can't manipulate his lips.
Looks like somebody just took his oboe away.
Well, you see, Charles John got so infused over your vinegar, he tried gargling with it, and it puckered his mouth.
Oh, you see, nobody can understand a word I say.
What's that?
He says nobody can understand a word he says.
Are you sure, Alan?
I'm positive, positive.
Great! You're just the man I need.
Well, but Charles John can't sing, Mrs. Vogels.
Who cares about his singing?
You can still use him?
For years I've been looking for a man who can't be understood when he talks.
What for?
I need him for a great radio advertising campaign for Vogelson's vitamin vinegar.
And you think...
If we can keep feeding this mockingbird of yours vinegar, he's the answer to my prayers. I'll put him on the radio at $1,000 a week.
$1,000 a week? Well, what'll he do?
He'll be a vinegar auctioneer.
Can you do it, Charles John?
Can I? Listen.
And now, a word demi-tasse served by Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. When you drive into town to shop, there's one merchant with whom you can do business without placing a foot outside your car. He's your gasoline and oil dealer, the service station man. He takes pride in serving you and your car efficiently and completely. His products and his free services, like air, water, and other things, are right out in the open for your convenience. And over 95% of all the retail outlets of the petroleum industry are operated by local, independent businessmen who also take pride in living and trading in their own communities.
Thank you, Larry Elliott, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. And don't forget, next Wednesday night, we'll have Amos and Andy and Mansell Talkett, the mayor of Waukegan, with us to help us celebrate Jack Benny's 10th anniversary. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. And remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I thought it was kind of fun when I found out this episode took place in Boston, being as I was just back in Boston. So I guess Jack and the gang and I were both in Boston the same time of year, just 70 years apart. 75 years apart. This is the show's from 75 years ago. I'm really enjoying these older episodes. I don't think I even had them in my collection a few years ago, but I never listened to them, and so it's just kind of neat to hear them. And this one is a pretty listenable quality and everything. The earlier episode I played tonight, I decided not to do a podcast for it and do both episodes, one because I wanted to play the Boston one, but also the other one is only 10 minutes of the show exists, and so it's very short. But I thought I would mention on this podcast that that episode from the week earlier than this Boston episode is about Jack's life story, which is always fun to hear. That's the earliest life story of Jack Benny that I think I've seen. He does it every once in a while throughout the years. The other piece that it's the earliest mention of Jack saying he's 39, and Don says he's 42, and he really is, I believe, 42 at the time. But it's the first kind of 39 reference. And they'll go away from that, and he'll say he's younger than that in future seasons, because he plays around with being 36 for a while, and then 37 and 38, and eventually he sticks at 39. But this is the earliest reference I can think of to him actually saying he's 39. What else about this episode? It's just fun. Like I say, it's fun that it's in Boston. It's fun that next week he'll be in New York, he mentions. And, of course, I was just in New York. So it's just kind of neat that to be going through those places at the same time of year that Jack did. So kind of gives me a new perspective on the whole thing. I hope you enjoy this episode. No Don Wilson this episode. We have a guest announcer instead of Don, but I think he does a pretty good job, and the whole episode is a pretty entertaining episode. So without further ado, I will let you enjoy Jack Benny episode from 75 years ago.
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Johnny Green and his orchestra. This is Pat Weaver pinch hitting for Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Yours Truly Is Truly Yours. Now is the time for springtime salads, and that makes it an ideal time to serve Jell-O as a salad. Jell-O combines perfectly with fruits and vegetables. Lime Jell-O, for instance, blends wonderfully well in salads with grapefruit slices. Orange Jell-O is delicious with sections of an orange and sliced bananas. Lemon Jell-O makes a grand combination with grated carrots and shredded canned pineapple. Try one of these delightful combinations as a salad real soon. It's another way to enjoy Jell-O's true fruit goodness. No other gelatin dessert can equal Jell-O's extra-rich fruit flavor. Every one of Jell-O's six flavors is good with an added goodness, satisfying with an added satisfaction. So if you want the best, always order Jell-O by name. Always insist on genuine Jell-O. Now we bring to you not the hero of Bunker Hill, not the catch of Cape Cod, not the dean of Harvard University, but who do you think?
Give up? Hello again. It's only me, folks. Were you fooled for a minute?
No.
Fine welcome to Boston. Well, anyway, here I am, 1 week in Baltimore, next week in Cleveland, this week Boston. Oh, I guess it's the gypsy in me. Say, Don, you've lost a lot of weight since last Sunday. Have you been on a diet?
No.
Well, what happened?
Well, I happen to be another announcer. You see, Don Wilson couldn't make it.
Oh, well, the streets are narrow here. He had a little trouble last year, you know. You know, that Wilson guy is pretty heavy.
I know, but the streets in Boston aren't that narrow.
They're not, eh? You know what happened yesterday?
No.
Two worms collided in the middle of Washington Street and held up traffic for 3 hours.
Is that a fact?
No, but I thought it might get a laugh, you know. So you're taking Wilson's place tonight, huh?
Yes, Weaver is my name. Patrick Henry Weaver. Henry, like in Ford.
Oh, I see.
And yours?
John Quincy Benny. Quincy, like in throat.
Tell me, are you enjoying your stay in Boston, Mr. Benny?
Yes, but don't be so formal. I mean, you can call me Jack, you know. Well,
thanks, Jack. You can call me Mr. Weaver.
Well, thank you. But I am having quite a time here. I spent a few days looking over the historical points of interest.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of American history connected with Boston.
Oh, yes.
You know, Paul Revere rode here.
That's right. Say, was that Rockingham Park or Narragansett?
I don't know. I even forgot the name of the horse.
I think we did that joke last year, too, if I remember. Well, it's not important. Say, Pat, you're a stranger in our little group. Now, you won't feel offended if I give you a little advice, will you?
No.
You won't get mad?
No.
Promise now.
For heaven's sake, what is it?
Well, come here a minute. Now, as Don Wilson probably told you, dignity is the keynote of this program. By that, I mean, you only mention J-E-L-L-O... with the six delicious F-L-A-V-O-R-S, if it happens to fit. You know, don't drag it in.
You mean strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime?
Not so L-O-U-D. Somebody will hear you, you dope.
I'm sorry.
Well, just be careful, that's all. Come in.
Mr.
Mr. Benny?
Yes.
Now, on behalf of our great Commonwealth, it affords me extreme pleasure to welcome you to Boston.
Well.
And I hope that your sojourn in this metropolis will be most diverting.
Well, thank you. And who may you be?
I may be the mayor, but at present I'm a dishwasher at Child's.
Well, a fraternity, brother, huh? A washer, drop a disher?
No, mopper, upper floor. Oh. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Nice fellow, wasn't he?
Charming.
What are we talking about, Pat?
Oh, about Boston in general.
Oh, yes. Well, I must say that it's a great thrill for me to be playing in Boston. You do meet such cultured and intelligent people.
Hello, Jack. What was that last line?
Oh, Kenny, I was just telling Pat that in Boston you meet such cultured and intelligent people.
You said the same thing about Cleveland.
I know, but I can't write new stuff every week. Oh, Kenny, this is our announcer for tonight, Mr. Weaver.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Well, how do you do? Have you seen much of Boston during your stay, Mr. Baker?
Oh, sure. I've been everywhere. This morning I was out to Harvard University.
Gee, I'll bet it was the thrill.
You can get 3-1 on that. Yeah. What were you doing at Harvard, Kenny?
Well, as long as I was in Boston, I thought I'd stop by and pick up a degree.
Did you get one?
No, they're closed on Sundays.
Oh. Never mind. You can pick one up tomorrow.
Hello, Jack. Mm. Gee, I had a hard time finding this place.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to Boston.
Say, Jack, want to hear something?
What?
The cutest little Boston bull followed me all the way down the street and right up the steps of the studio.
He did?
Yes, and he's still here.
Well, maybe he's lost, Mary. Is there any identification on his collar?
Yeah, Officer 215.
Oh, that kind of a bull. Hello, officer.
Hello, Jack. Thought I'd drop in on you.
Isn't he cute?
Yeah. Say, Mary, I want you to meet our Boston announcer, Pat Weaver. He's taking Don Wilson's place this week.
Well, how do you do, Miss Livingston? I'm so glad to meet you. I've always been a great admirer of yours.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Weaver. We better understand each other right now. I'm a homegirl, and I don't live in taxis. You can keep your old diamonds and furs. Who wants them? And another thing, I get more kick out of a good book than a highball, so there.
But, Mary...
I've got a good mind to tell Mrs. Weaver.
Well, Miss Livingston, I didn't say anything.
But I know what you're thinking. You men are all alike. You love us, you marry us, and then you look around for a pinochle game. Well, you can't do that to me.
Why, Mary, all he said was he's glad to meet you.
Yes, but the way he said it. I suppose the next thing he'll do will invite me to dinner, and then what?
What are you talking about?
But, Miss Livingston, I wasn't going to ask you to dinner.
Oh, so I'm not good enough, huh? Well, you can keep your old New England boiled dinner. I don't like that kind of food anyway.
What
and another
this?
Thing, a girl isn't safe anymore. Believe me, you wouldn't
Mary,
talk to me like that if my big brother was
listen,
around. All you men
play,
do is
Johnny,
murder,
will you play,
dog,
play.
Pretty, you think you can take me out? I've got
Mary.
Some Nerve.
That was Lost, played by Johnny Green and his orchestra with Some Nerve by Mary. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction this evening, we are going to offer...
Oh, say, Jack.
Yeah?
How did you like that last number I played?
Oh, all right, Johnny, but you have been better. I thought your baton was a little off key there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, just for that...
What?
Oh, never mind.
Well, anyway, tonight, folks, we are going to offer an unusual drama. Something entirely away from our regular...
Say, Jack.
Yeah?
Are you going to the party tonight?
What party?
The one Johnny's aunt is giving. It's a big tea party.
It is?
Yeah, Johnny invited me.
Gee, I didn't hear anything about it. Who's going?
Kenny, myself, and the boys in the band.
Oh.
Weren't you invited?
No, this is the first I've heard about it.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
Oh, I don't care. They parties, parties, parties. I'm sick of them. Gee, I went to one every night 12 years ago. Well, anyway, folks, as I said before, tonight we are going to offer an unusual drama, something entirely away from the...
Jack.
Yes, Kenny?
Do you mind if I quit early? I want to go to Johnny's party.
Oh, Kenny, what do you see in all these parties, parties? Why don't you stay home like I do?
Oh, then you haven't been invited, huh?
I'd rather stay home and practice my violin. La, 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 la. Later, later.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Johnny.
What time is it?
Oh. About 7:15. Say, Johnny, you know, I was only kidding before. I thought your number was all right.
I don't mind.
Say, have you seen much of Boston, Johnny, since you've been in town?
Yes, why?
Well, I just thought I know the town pretty well, and if there are any of the local sites you want pointed out, I'll be glad to point at them for you, you know?
Well, thanks, but Boston happens to be my home.
Oh, well, I didn't know that, but Johnny, you know, there's an old saying that nobody knows less about a town than a man who was born there.
Well, I don't agree to that.
Hey, wait a minute, you take my hometown, Waukegan. Why, until I was 18 years old, I never even knew where the railroad station was.
How'd you find out?
The sheriff showed it to him.
Oh.
He did not. Well, anyway, Johnny, I hear that your aunt is giving
Pardon me, Jack, will you? I've got to arrange some music.
Oh, okay, Johnny, okay. Do you need any help?
No, thanks.
Well, I just thought I'd be glad to...
Excuse me, I'll see you later.
All right. No, oh, say, Johnny, I was just thinking I'm not doing anything this evening, and would you like to join me in a little party, you know, where we can sit around and chat, you know?
Well, I'm afraid I can't make it, Jack.
Oh, you mean you have other plans?
Yes.
Someplace else to go, huh?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You mean another party, for instance?
That's it.
Well, gee, Johnny, I certainly envy you. I wish I had someplace to go. You don't know what it means to be alone in a strange city.
No, I guess I don't. Well, so long, Jack.
Now, who wants to go out anyway? It's raining.
It won't be raining inside.
Yeah, I'm tired. Oh, I don't feel like going anyplace anyway. I guess I'll go right to bed after the broadcast, you know.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Johnny.
doesn't Kenny have to sing his song now?
Yes, sing, Kenny.
Oh, parties, parties, a bunch of kids.
So wonderful, you, lovely you. You completely satisfy, I'm confessing that is why there's nobody like you. You, so much depends upon you. Tell me true, will it be my fate at all? Will I ever rate at all with somebody like you? Just to think that you love me makes my future look strong. I swear by stars above me, I'm darned if I don't feel like writing a song about you. Music and words about you, lovely you. Let me think of phrases for, let me sing out praises for nobody but you. You're the inspiration of my fondest dreams. Here's the situation. This is how it seems. You can make me happy, you can make me blue. All I am or hope to be is really up to you, dear. Sometimes I don't feel like writing a song. Words about you, lovely you. Let me think up phrases for, let me sing out phrases for nobody but you.
Thank you, John.
Yes, sir. That was Kenny Baker singing You from the great Ziegfeld. And very well done, Kenny. That was well. You know, they like you here.
Thanks, Jack.
Say, Kenny, with that voice, I'll bet you'll be the life of the party tonight. Huh?
You said it. Gee, I hope there's dancing. Oh, you know, Jack, I've been taking ballroom dancing from a girl who teaches me, and she says I'm doing fine.
Oh, ballroom dancing, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, one more lesson I can dance alone.
Is that so? Huh?
Come on, fellas, let's go. Hurry, Kenny. You too, Mary. We got to get going. We'll be late for the party.
Well, so long, Jack. Gee, I'm sorry you're not coming with us.
Oh, that's all right, Mary. I'll stay home and listen to the radio. There's a swell lecture on tonight, The Home Life of a Grasshopper. I don't want to miss it, you know.
Who's interested in a grasshopper?
Another grasshopper.
Well, so long, Jack. See you later.
So long.
Guys, I'll better have a swell time at that party.
Well, it's all right if you have nothing else to do, you know. I'm going to a theater and see Follow the Fleet for the 12th time.
Come on, Kenny. Come on, Kenny. Everybody's waiting. We'll get in your car. My car? I haven't got a car now. You haven't? No. Did you see that new telegraph pole on Tremont Street? Yeah. Well, I didn't.
Well, Mary, looks like they'll all have to go in your car.
I haven't got a car either.
You haven't? You had one yesterday.
You know that corner at the post office?
Yes.
Well, it isn't a corner.
Oh.
Oh, gosh, this is awful. We'll never get to the party. Hasn't anybody got a car?
La, 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 da, dum, 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 da, dee, da, dum, da, 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 da.
Oh, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you drive us to the party?
Well, I'd like to, Johnny, but, gee, while everybody's inside having fun, I don't want to stay outside and wait.
You know? Why, Jack, you don't have to stay outside and wait.
No, you can go home.
Oh, come on, Jack. Come on. Don't be stubborn. Come on along with us to the party.
Well, coax me. Well, if you insist, let's go, huh?
Come on, fellas.
Hey, there's the car, boys. Hey, pile your instruments in the back.
Huh? Hey, Jack. Jack, yeah? I can't get the grand piano in the car.
Oh, no wonder. You forgot to put the top up.
Oh.
Hey, Roy, slide that trombone in.
Say, Jack, how can I get my cornet in?
I can't what?
How can I get my cornet in?
Push the middle valve down.
Well, are you all set? Everybody in?
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's fine. Let's go. Close the door, boys. Release the brake, Mary. Hey, Kenny, throw out the clutch. What was that?
Kenny threw out the clutch.
Play clutch. I mean, Johnny. and that was Let's Face the Music and Dance from the picture Follow the Fleet, played by Johnny Green and his orchestra with the piano on Johnny. Say, Mary, I want to see what street this is. Would you mind getting off my lap?
Sure, Jack. Say, Kenny, get off my lap, will you?
Okay. Say, Johnny, get off my lap. Oh, watch out, Jack. Watch out.
Oh, what's the matter, Kenny?
You almost hit a car.
Oh, I thought you were driving.
Hey, hey, this is the place, Jack. Stop right here. Here we are, everybody out. Come on, come on. Hurry up there.
Hey, say, Johnny, you sure this is the right place? This is the waterfront.
I know, Jack. We have to take a robot out to the party.
A robot?
A rowboat.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, the party's on a yacht.
On a yacht, eh?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see it over there? It's all lit up. I guess the party's in full swing. Hey, here's a rowboat.
Hey, wait a minute, Johnny. We can't get in that dinky little boat. How deep is the water?
About 2 feet.
I don't mean in the boat.
Gee, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't worry, Kenny. If anything happens, I'll save you. You know, I used to be a lifeguard. Ask Mary.
Say, Mary, is Jack a good swimmer?
No, but he can wade like the devil.
Oh, we're wasting time. Let's get in the boat.
Yeah, women and children first.
Come on, Kenny.
Hey, don't push.
Gee, I'm afraid, too.
Mary, if you want to be afraid in this crowd, you'll have to stand in line.
Boy, this is a heavy load. Hey, who'll do the rowing?
Well, let's take turns. Who wants to be first? Mutiny on the rowboat. Come on, Johnny. Who's going to row first?
Say, Jack, you want to hear a riddle?
It's a fine time for riddles. What is it?
When you're in a theater, where do you like to sit?
Well, I like the first row.
Give him the oars, Johnny.
I should have known better.
Gee, I'm afraid.
Okay, Jack, shove off.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, be careful of the dock.
Okay.
You know, it's the oldest dock in the country.
Hey, Mary, what are you laughing at?
The country dock.
Boy, this is a tough pull. Say, Johnny, what kind of a party is your aunt giving?
Why, it's a patriotic affair to commemorate the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh.
Say, where's Mary?
Here I am, Jack. I just went below deck.
Below deck? This is a rowboat.
Oh, no wonder I'm all wet.
Oh, Jack, what was that Boston Tea Party about?
Well, as I remember it, they were having a little blowout in Boston Harbor, and the tea was too strong, so they threw it overboard.
They might have thrown the tea overboard, but they certainly ate the Jell-O with its new extra rich fresh fruit flavor.
Attaboy, Pat, that was fine. You didn't drag that in. Much!
So try Jell-O with its much delicious flavors. Oh. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange,
hey, wait
and
a
lime.
Wait a minute, Pat. The lemon was left out.
Maybe they're saving it for the tea.
Bravo, Miss Livingston. That was very clever.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Weaver. I'm a homegirl, and I don't want to see any extras. And you can keep your flowers.
Oh, Mary, you're overdoing it. Say, Pat, what are you doing here on the boat?
Oh, I just thought I'd come along and help. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, get out and push.
Ahoy! Ahoy there!
Party coming up!
Lower the ladder!
All right, everybody, climb on board!
Oh, Jack!
What is it, Kenny?
I'm scared!
Oh, shut up! Boy, this is some yacht. Come on, Mary, climb up the ladder.
Where is it?
On page 8.
Ah, there's my aunt now. Good evening, Aunt Clementine.
Oh, there you are, you naughty boy. You're late.
Mary, get a load of Johnny's aunt. What a ritzy dame.
Yeah, look at those eyeglasses on silk. You may introduce me to your friend, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Auntie, this is Kennethon.
Oh, how do you do, Kennethon?
Hello.
And who is this young lady?
I'm Marathon.
Auntie, this is Miss Livingston.
How do you do, Miss Livingston? Are you of the East Smythe Livingstons of Salt Lake City?
No, Springfield.
Springfield?
That's what it says in my scribe.
That's a lot of trees.
And who is this distinguished-looking gentleman?
Allow me, I'm Jackathon Benny. My uncle is S. Van Dyke Chatsworthy Benny. Do you know him?
Yes, the louse.
I say, here comes Uncle Kensington. He's looking rather chipper, isn't he, Auntie?
Quite. Dear old Kensington is a new man since he recovered from his recent inhibited neurosis.
My, how utterly devastating. Was he in a bad way?
Rather. He went nuts, you know.
Oh, well, dem things will happen.
Uncle Kensington, I want you to meet my good friend, Mr. Benner.
Hello, Enzo. Well, they'll strike me thinking.
Why, clever, where'd you get the name? Where'd you get a name like Kensington?
Huh? It's fictitious. Oh. It's what I call a nom de plume. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Schlepp. Well, I must toddle along and rejoin my guests. Au revoir, Schleppington.
Toodle-do, second mate.
Hey, second mate?
Yes, I was married twice.
Oh.
Hey, Jack, is this a swanky party? We got here the sweet cream of society, I'm told.
Oh, the 400 are here, huh?
450, they brought their friends. Jack, don't be a wallpaper. We got plenty of food. Caviar, chicken, turkey, and whatnot.
Ah, I'll take the drumsticks.
Drumsticks? This is a Boston Tea Party, not the spirit of 76. Come on, Jack, there's plenty to eat, by Jove. Don't be bashful. Have a cookie.
Ah, Schlepp, this is too much.
All right, break it in half. Here, hey, here, have a cup of tea.
A cup of tea? Oh, boy, that's just what I need.
I'll have another cup of tea. Get into the spirit.
Be careful, Jack.
Say, this isn't bad, you know.
Here, have another cup.
Hey, what's the idea of a spoon in it?
To keep the lemon down, you dopey.
Hey, this tea is all right.
Huh? Sure, come on, have another cup. It's stimulating.
You forgot the sugar.
All right, here.
Thanks.
Now I have another cup. It's flabbergasting, I'm telling you.
Wait a minute, this is the eighth cup.
Ah, don't be a teetotal. Come on, Jackie boy, have another cup. It's nauseating.
Oh, Kensington, Kensington.
Yes, Clementine?
The guests are all assembled for the annual ceremony. Come on, everybody, gather around. It's time to throw the tea overboard.
Leave it to me, Mama. Stand aside.
Look out below! Wait a minute, Schlepp. Wait a minute, you're throwing me overboard. What's the idea?
What can I do? You drank all the tea.
Play, Johnny.
Here's a special announcement for you who are listening to station WJZ, either in metropolitan New York or New England. Jell-O is introducing a new product in your territory. Its name is Jell-O Ice Cream Mix, and with it you can make the best ice cream you've ever tasted. Jell-O Ice Cream Mix comes in five luscious flavors: vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, orange, pineapple, and tutti frutti. The three fruit flavors are actual fruits in their own sweetened juices. The vanilla and chocolate syrups are wonderfully rich and mellow. Each flavor freezes to smooth, flawless perfection in the trays of your automatic refrigerator. Just open a can of Jell-O Ice Cream Mix, add some milk, some whipped cream, pour the mixture in the tray of your automatic refrigerator, stir just once during the freezing, and you'll have your ice cream, six generous portions of it, rich, fluffy, amazingly smooth and creamy. Real luxury ice cream. Ask your grocer for Jell-O Ice Cream Mix tomorrow, and if he hasn't it in stock yet, be sure he orders it for you. Don't accept any substitutes. There's no better way of making truly fine ice cream than Jell-O Ice Cream Mix. Remember the name, Jell-O Ice Cream Mix.
First program in the new Jell-O series. And we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time, broadcasting from New York City. Oh, Pat, I want to thank you for helping us out tonight.
Oh, that's all right. I was glad to do it. So long, Jack.
So long, Pat.
And goodbye, Miss Livingston. It's been a pleasure knowing you.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something. I've said about enough from you. If you think that I'm a kind of a girl that you can just toss aside like a cat's off shoe, you have another guest.
Oh, good night, folks. Good night.
J-E-L-L-O. Captain Bloom is from the production, She Loves Me Not. This program has come to you from station WBZ in Boston. This is the National Broadcasting Company.